Greetings and welcome back to the OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and today we have a relatively short chapter, as short as we have anywhere in Sefer Shmuel, 12 psukim. Perak Chav Zayin, David and Shaul have separated for the last time. The end of Perak Chavav, after David took Shaul's spear and water, and Shaul recognized that David could have killed him and didn't, and blessed him for his kindness and his trust. And David is now going to flee again. One note about Perak Chavav that I forgot to mention is that David standing atop a mountain and decrying Shaul's behavior is evocative of a scene in Sefer Shoftim where a young man who has narrowly escaped slaughter at the hands of the would-be king gets up and publicly decries this king and his behavior. And that is the scene at the beginning of the ninth chapter of Shoftim when Yotam, the one survivor of Avimelech's massacre of Gideon's children, gets up to the mountaintop and decries the choice of Avimelech. The two are not perfectly analogous, of course. In this case, David does recognize the office of Shaul time and time again. Nonetheless, the two are close enough to inspire the sense of comparison, because of course the only two people in history in Tanakh to be seized with a ruach ra'ah in those words are Avimelech and Shaul. And indeed, at Shaul's death, there will be a scene that is reminiscent of the death of Avimelech. This of course paints Shaul in not too favorable a light, just as we saw the triangular relationship between Michal, David, and Shaul, replicating the relationship between Rachel, Yaakov, and Lavan, again putting Shaul into an unfavorable position based on that comparison. Vayomer David al libo, Perek Chav Zayin, chapter 27. David said to himself, Ata, he said, now remember, he has 600 men, and nonetheless he's making this decision by himself. Ata esafe yom echad biyad Shaul. I will now be killed one day by Shaul. Shaul's been chasing me. David realizes, of course, that Hashem has been saving him, but nonetheless, this is a place of danger, and he can't rely on that. And therefore, he says, one day I'm going to be killed. The only chance I have is to escape to the land of Plishtim, bringing us back to Perek Chafalef when he ran there. But in that case, when he was recognized and he was all alone, he acted like a crazy man. This time he's coming without putting on any ruse, and he comes with 600 men. V'nashi meni Shaul avakshini od b'chol gvul Yisrael. Shaul will give up and trying to seek me anywhere in our borders. V'nimlatim yado, and I'll be saved from him. Now, here, unlike in the previous time, Shaul, and in any other of David's travels, David does not want to be incognito. David does not want his whereabouts to be hidden and discreet. Here he wants Shaul to know where he is. Once Shaul knows that he's fled to the Plishtim, Shaul can't attack him. The Plishtim are an enemy, and Shaul would forfeit his life if he were to go there. And Shaul certainly cannot inspire thousands of men, we would assume, of course, 3,000, to go and attack the Plishtim in order to get David back. So what does David do? Yaakov and David Avor Huva Shishmiot Ish Asher Imo. He took these 600 men. El Achish ben Ma'och Melech Gat. He went to Achish, who is the king of Gat. Vayeshav David im Achish Pagat Huva Nashav Ishu Veto. So David went to Achish, he and his men, which if he has 600 men, we're talking here about 1,500 to 2,000 people, including women and children. And his two wives, Achinomi Israelit, and again, Avigail, who is presented as the wife of Naval, go there. And indeed, the way David imagined is how it played out. Shaul heard that he ran to Gat, and Shaul ceased seeking him. And this time, really, it is the last time that Shaul is seeking him, or he will seek him no more. But now we have a very strange scenario. David, who had killed the hero from Gat, the giant, is now in Gat and not hiding his identity at all, but he has 600 men with him, which may give him some sense of protection. Vayomer David al Achish, Im na matzati chen ba'inecha, if you favor me, yitnu li makom ve'achat arei ha'sadeh, give me somewhere out in the field, give me some other city not in the field, but a city out in the field, meaning not the capital city. Remember when we spoke about back in the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel and Perek Dal and Perek Hei, that the cities of the Plishtim had the five major cities, and each of them had suburbs that were villages. That's what he's asking for. Why should I live here in the royal city with you? Meaning that I have 600 men. There's no room for all of us here. These cities were small cities. So Achish acceded to the request and gave him the city of Tziklag, which is further south, and also a bit inland, like Gat. And now we see another gloss in the text, which indicates that this text was edited many years later, because it states that, therefore, Tziklag belonged to the kings of Judea until this very day. So that means there already has to be a post-Davidic dynasty in place of kings that continue to hold on to the city of Tziklag, all in the merit of the fact that David requested the city from Achish. And here David stayed for a year and 4 months. This, of course, takes us back to the Pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, where it states that Shaul was king for 2 years. We noted that that must have been 2 years until he was stripped of his kingship by Shmuel, because the events of David running, just this particular event, is a year and 4 months. Hard to believe that Shaul's entire reign, from becoming king until he dies, is only 2 years. So David and his men went and raided these north Sinaitic nomadic tribes, including Amalek. They've always been there. In the area from Shur, which if you recall is outside of Beersheba, and all the way to Egypt, in other words, the northern Sinai, that strip, that's where these guys have lived forever. Now, Wanakot, of course, asked the question, how do you have Amalek here to attack if Shaul wiped out all of Amalek? But this is, as I said, back in Perek Tetvav, Shaul did not destroy all of Amalek. He destroyed a particular tribe of Amalek, the ones who were under Agag, and the ones who themselves had been behaving very badly and attacking Am Yisrael. And there were other tribes of Amalek around, and we will see them again in Perek Lamed. So David would attack these guys, but notice how smart he is. Vikad David etaretz v'loichai esh v'isha. David smote them and did not leave any survivors. V'lakach tzonu v'kar v'chamorim v'gvalim v'gadim v'yashav evo alachish. He would take flock and the cattle. He would take donkeys and camels. He would take garments, and he would come back to Achish. And he would bring them as a tribute to Achish, or part of it. Vayom Achish al pshatatem hayom. And Achish would typically say to him, where did you attack today? David, al negev Yudav, al negev Racham Eliv, al negev Hakini. He said, we attacked southern Judea and the Negev of Yerachmiel and of the Keni. Keni, of course, were allies of Israel. In other words, David is giving the impression that he is attacking Am Yisrael and their allies, thus strengthening the idea in Achish's mind that David has now divorced himself from Am Yisrael and is an enemy, and there's nobody who can deny this because David leaves no survivors. And this, of course, earns David's trust with Achish. Ish v'isha lo yechayed David, l'avi gat lemor. David left no man or woman alive of the people he attacked, because they would come to Gat and say, p'nyagidu aleinu lemor, koi asa David v'chom mishpato, kol ha'amim asher yashab b'stei flishtim. Because then they might come and tell Achish, this is what David has been doing all the time he's been living here. He has been attacking Am Yisrael's enemies. He's still one of them, but he leaves no survivors, so Achish doesn't know. So what happens? Vayamen Achish b'David lemor, havei shivish v'amo v'Yisrael, v'ayal li le'ver olam. And Achish believed David, saying that he has indeed stunk things up with his nation. In other words, he has turned his back on his own nation, and he will now be my servant forever. I have him, and therefore I can trust him, and therefore I have nothing to fear of him. And that is how David operates really on behalf of Am Yisrael inside the Plishti circles. We will find in Perek Chavtet that David will be potentially put into a nearly impossible situation because of this great trust that he has earned, and will be rescued from it by a typical reaction that we may expect from some of Achish's colleagues. In the meantime, though, we have a very momentous chapter, Perek Chavchet, to deal with. in which we will investigate not only the chapter, but also the way that this very curious and bizarre event in the chapter is viewed by different Rishonim based on their understanding of Psukim and Sefer Dvarim and based on their philosophic mean. But we will leave that till tomorrow. In the meantime, everyone have a good day. Tomorrow we will study Perek Chafchet, Chapter 28.